Okay, today I want to talk about Parshas Parah. Okay, I want to conclude with a riddle, but before we go to the riddle of Parshas Parah, let me give you a riddle for last week's Parsha. What is the longest possible Aliyah in the Torah? Aliyah, the longest possible Aliyah.
Shabbos Hanukkah,
when it comes out on the last day comes out.
What about the Masos?
What are the candidates? Let me tell you the first option you said is Hanukkah. Shabbos Hanukkah, the Nisim.
When Shmini comes out on Shabbos.
When Shmini comes out on Shabbos.
Last day Hanukkah, you have the whole landing by Yom
Shmini
all the way down.
Why only Shabbos?
Weekdays too.
During the weekdays, the same thing.
That you have for three people. The weekdays you cut off the Shemini into two people.
Okay. So Shabbos is three people in one shot. Okay. Interesting. Okay. The other candidate is the Masos, the very long Aliyah. And then you say that last week, but the second Aliyah is the Levi for Parashas Kisisa, but something that's even longer. And someone told me this actually happened to him. He went to shul this past Shabbos, and there was no koyhein in shul. First Aliyah, what do you do? There was no koyhein in shul for last week's in Parashas Kisisa. So what are you going to do? Who are you going to give the first Aliyah to?
you give it to anybody, but you're still cut off.
And you're going to give it to a Yisrael, so that means the second Aliyah you're also going to give to a Yisrael.
Yeah, alright.
And that means you're going to lane the Cheder Egel for a Yisrael. Right. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to embarrass him. That's the reason why the Aliyahs are exceptionally long, because you want to lay in the second Aliyah for the Levi. You don't want to give it to the Yisrael. So what do you do? You give the first Aliyah to a Levi, and you keep on going.
You don't stop.
You go all the way until Shlishi.
Or you send the Levi out, and there's only a Kohen, and he gets
both. No, there is no Kohen.
That's why he's up there.
Oh, same thing. If there is no, what do you mean send a Levi? You simply send them out. You have to send them out. If you have a Kohen and a Levi, you give the Kohen to the first Aliyah and a Levi to the second Aliyah. That's normal. Oh, if the Levi is not there in the Chanani, you're right. If the Levi, good point, if there is no Levi, if there is no Levi, or if there is no Kohen, you give the first Aliyah to the Levi, and you read four columns in the Sefer Torah. Long, that's the longest Aliyah possible. You don't stop. You keep on going. The first Aliyah is approximately two columns. And the second Aliyah is also two columns. So that means the first person to get the first Aliyah is going to read four columns. An average parasha is about 4.5-5 columns. So basically you're giving one person the equivalent of an entire parasha. That's pretty impressive. Someone told me this Shabbos, he went to a shul, an average size shul, not a small shul, and there was no coin. And that is what the rabbi said to do, to give the first person, to give the Levi, all the way until Shlishi. Okay, that's one riddle. Okay, I'll tell you another very interesting riddle at the end. Another interesting point, why is it on time that we lay in this week's Parashas Kisitsa? Why is it on a Tainis Tzibur, the first person, the first Aliyah, we lay in one Pasuk? The Tzibur lays out loud, Shuv Mecharona Pech Vinchem Al Hora Aliyamecha. The Levi, we don't read anything. And the Yisrael, we read two psukim, Hashem, Hashem, the Yud Gimel Midas Sarachanim, and then V'Solachta Lavoneinu Ulechatoseinu Unechaltanu. But there are two different, and the Levi gets nothing. Don't you think we should divide it up where the Levi also gets a chance to have some also should lane? So the answer is the same reason why we give the Levi the Aliyah is because he didn't do anything exactly. The Kohen, Aaron was partially guilty. Aaron was the one who made the Egel. So the Kohen also, we let him feel bad. Shuv mecharoin apecha v'nechem al roli amecha. We then called the Levi. The Levi did nothing. They didn't make the egel. They didn't worship the egel. And in fact, mila shem elai. They came forward to save Klal Yisrael. So
we skip over the egel.
So we don't do anything for the Levi. But the Yisrael, who the ones who participated, they deserve double kefil. Hashem Hashem and vayem Hashem and slach. Okay, now let's go to Parshas Parah. This week of Yer Hashem is Parshas Parah. Normally, Parshas Parah is normally the week after Purim. In a year when Rosh Chodesh Nisan falls out in the middle of the week before Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Parshas HaChodesh, and the week before Parshas HaChodesh will automatically be the week after Purim, it's a klal, will be the week after Purim, is Parshas Parah. So Parah generally is sandwiched in between Purim and Parshas HaChodesh. It's always in the middle. So the question is, when Chazal Matzak in the Dal Parshos, is Parshas Parah, is it Shaykh an extension of Purim, or is Parshas Parah an extension of Chodesh Nisan, a Parshas HaChodesh? So the truth is, this is a very important Yisoid, that Parshas Parah is both. Parshas Parah really is both the end of Purim and is the beginning of Parshas HaChodesh. Now, let's explain. First of all, let's discuss this from an abstract point of view. What is Parshas Parah all about? Tahara, purity. Tahara, it's interesting, if you study Chazal, you'll discover that Tahara is something which is always a prerequisite for something that you're going to do later on. Before you go into the Beis HaMikdash, you require Tahara. But Tahara is also the goal. The goal of observing the Torah, Lifnei Hashem Titaru. We work on ourselves through the days of the Yom Noroim, in the Mesilas Yeshorim. It's the highest Madrega. Tahara, on the one hand, is a prerequisite to go forward, to do anything. I'll give you a classic example. Children, they learn Chumash Vayikra. Yavoi Tahoirim, V'yaseik b'taharas. Let the pure ones come b'yaseik in karbanos. Children, they start out pure. When you start out in this world, you start out pure. Then you go through life, and you get a little muddy, you get a little dirty. And the goal is, before you leave this world, lifnei Hashem titor, to cleanse yourself. Tahara is a very unique subject. It's something which is the beginning and is the end. Adar is the very end of the year. Purim is the last holiday. Chodesh Nisan is the very beginning. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim Rishon Ulachem Lachodshei Hashana. What is sandwiched in between the end of the year Adar and the beginning of the year Chodesh Nisan? Parah. Parah is the transition. Why is Parah the transition? Because it's a very deep concept. Tahara is both something that is the Haschola and the Gemar. You have to be metayer yourself before you do any davar shebe kedusha, and the proud part of doing a mitzvah, learning Torah and davening, is to bring tahara to your neshama. So it's the beginning and the end, and that is why Parshas Parah is smack in the middle between Purim and Chodesh Nisan, the end of the year and the beginning of the year. Okay, that's one idea. Now, what is the Shaychus of Parah to Purim? What is the connection? So I read in the Sefer a very beautiful idea. What is Purim all about? Purim, we have the mitzvah of Chayif Adam Levasume Bipuraya Ad Lo Yada Ben Oro Haman Lebaruch Morcha. Why did Chazal instruct us to do something that's so bizarre? To get intoxicated to the point where you don't have any das. It's a very bizarre concept that we should be required to do on Purim. The answer is, what was Purim all about? Purim represents the idea where events happened which made absolutely no logical sense. Why in the world would a nice Beis Yaakov girl, Esther Hamalka, be taken to the home of a Shegetz, Achashverosh, in a beauty contest, Meshisha Chodosh and Meshevin Hamor, Meshisha Chodosh and Babisonim, the Pritzos, the Averos that take place there in the palace of Achashverosh, who is she replacing, Vashti? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. Why should a barber, a lowlife, a nothing of a nothing, Haman rise to power to become the Mishnah Lamelech? Go to the entire Megillah. Why should go to all the? I don't remember all the details, but you go through the whole Purim story. The events, when these events happened, it don't make one bit of sense. We live in a world where we demand answers. Everyone is held accountable. There's one email that's missing. Why? We have to understand there's a conspiracy. We live in a world where everything must make sense. And if something doesn't make sense, it's not tolerated. But yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He deals with us, He does things to us. When things happen, we have to acknowledge they don't make sense. And it's only later, it can take years, decades, it can take us centuries later, when we look back and we understand, now I understand why this event happened. This had to happen in order so that something else, in order that all the pieces of the puzzle should fit together and bring about the greater good, the result should come to be. We learn from the story of Purim that you don't have to understand everything. We, at this Purim miracle, were given the opportunity to be able to look back and see how all of the events that when it happened, although we did not understand why they happened, we understand in retrospect. Now we understand. We understand now. The lesson of Purim is: you don't have to understand. You have to have faith. Things happen and they don't make sense. Okay, they don't make sense. We have faith. There's a reason why it happens. That's why the miracle, that's why Purim is celebrated with the Mevatel the Das. Ad Dilo Yoda. A person is supposed to put himself in this frame of mind where he doesn't have any intellect. Because that's really what the miracle of Purim is all about, to recognize that we don't really understand why things happen. What is Pora Aduma? Pora Aduma is the quintessential chok. There's no logical reason for Pora Aduma. It does not make any sense. All of the mitzvahs, to some degree, Basta B'cholav and Shanez and Klayin, you can have some, there's always some logic. You'll find in the Mer Nevuchim, you'll find some logical reason, the Medrash, a rationale. Why the Torah says, can't see par. You'll find a rationale. But the mitzvah that represents the peak, the spitz, of not understanding is Pora Aduma. We only can come to appreciate Pora Aduma after Purim. Purim is when we learn the hard way. The hard way, you don't have to understand everything. Ad lo yada. Now that we've reached that level in Hashem's Hanhaga, now when it comes, we can now tackle the mitzvah of Pora Aduma and be willing to accept, you know, I don't understand everything, I'll take this on. I'm willing to accept it. So Pora Aduma very much is connected to Purim. That's one. But on the other hand, Paradum, the Gemara really says, is since we're bringing the Karban Pesach, we are hoping, we are yearning for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, and we need to bring the Karban Pesach, and before you can bring a Karban, the prerequisite is Tahara. So Paraduma obviously is connected to the new Karbanos. The whole Chodesh Olachem Rosh Chodeshim is Chadesh. All the Karbanos have to be renewed and to bring Avad, the Purim came much later, of course. So Paraduma is, but also the fact why Chazal instituted that it should be read at this particular point in time. It's because it's a prerequisite. Now, the Gemara really says that Paraduma really should be read after Parshas HaChodesh. Parshas HaChodesh should be read in the first month, and then because to reenact the way it was done in the Midbar. In the Midbar, first it was HaChodesh HaZelochem, and on the second day of Nisan, they brought the Paraduma. The first Paraduma was prepared on the second day of Nisan. So the Gemara says, we should really offer the Paraduma, we should read about the Paraduma after after we read about Chodesh Nisan. But because it is represents the Taharoson Shel Yisrael, and Tahar is very important, Chazal took Paradum and they brought it back a Shabbos before. We put it in the middle. So Sachakol, we take away from this is that, but Parah Aduma is Tahara. Tahara is the trend. It's both the beginning and the end. It's sandwiched between the end of the year, the beginning of the year, and it also relates to Chodesh Nisan, the Tahara of Klal Yisrael, and it relates to Purim only after we achieve a state of Adlo Yada, an appreciation that we don't have to understand everything. Can we begin to appreciate the mitzvah of Paraduma? Now, where is there going to be an Afkamina? And this is a very big dilemma in Halacha. It's Machlokes in the Gemara, actually, in the Midrashim, in the Gemara, Yushami, Bavli, everyone has this very discussion is, what happens in a year like this year? A year like this year in the Gemara is a very disturbing year. Because this year, when is Rosh Chodesh?
Shabbos.
So when Rosh Chodesh is Chal B'Shabbos, we lay in a Shabbos HaChodesh, Parah on Shabbos. So then we have 2 weeks between Purim and Shabbos HaChodesh. So now becomes the very big nafkanina. Is the Paraduma the Iker focus of Paraduma Purim? Should be last week, after Kisisa. But if the Iker focus of Paraduma is Pesach, it should be next week. So this is Machlokes in the Gemara. This machlokes in the Gemara, and the maskana is we do it next week. We focus. The ikar is the tahara of klal Yisrael. That says quite a bit. It's both true. No one's denying the fact that it's also shaykh to Purim. But this year is where it says it all. Is where you separate. Is where you have to show your true colors. We skip a week after Purim, and with Soymech Paraduma to the week after the Parshas HaChodesh. Now, the very big nafkamina, what happens? What happens if you make a mistake? Let's say last Shabbos, I'm sure there must be some shulim in the world somewhere that made a mistake and laying last week Parshas Para after what?
Nobody.
I'm sure they must have been a shul somewhere in the world that made this mistake that lame last week Parshas. No, every year it's
hey, everybody.
Every year it's always the week after Purim generally, so you can very easily make a mistake and think that you should lay the week after Purim Parshas Para. So the truth is, this is a very, very big debate among the Paiskim, what you do if you have to repeat it. If you're in a community and everyone in the shul they heard Parshas Para the wrong week, like last week instead of this week, this coming week, there's a machlokes ha-poskim what you do this week. There are some poskim that say that you have to relate it again. You did it shalei kedin, not takanas chazal. Takanas chazal is that paraduma has to be juxtaposed to a chodesh to show that it is the taharoson shel Yisrael, that it's part of the preparation for karbanos. In order to bring a karban, you have to be tar and you have to lay it. You have to lay it again next week. And some say, no, you're ready with yoitza. You were yoitza. It's been Pesach and Purim. It's ready yoitza. You don't have to repeat it a second time. Okay. Now, next major issue. It's Parshas Para, the reading of Parshas Para, the Oiraisa or the Rabbanan. So this is also major machlokes ha-poskim. What will be the nafkamina? The nafkamina be the katan. Are you allowed to give it to a katan? Can a katan read? Can a katan read Parshas Para for the oilam? Another nafkamina touched upon are learning it a second time. Because if you, like we just, the question we just mentioned before, if you learn it the wrong week, Chazal Masakin, he's supposed to learn it, he's supposed to learn Halach Lamayis, we pass, he's supposed to learn it in the week that's next to Parshas Chodesh. Some want to suggest that if you hold it at Steraisa, that would be a nafkamina, that if you learn it the wrong week, you learn it last week, you have to learn it again. Because if it's a Daraisa, it already has a different standard. And the standard has to be related to the proper week, and the proper week is right before Pesach, to get ready for the Tahara of the Karm Pesach, and that would require. Okay, I'll discuss that in a few moments. So that would be a second nafkamin if it's Daraisa or Darabanan. Now, the question is, why in the world would it be Daraisa? What is there about Parshas Para that would lead you to believe that it's a Daraisa? So some want to say, because it's a pasuk in the Torah. It says, L'doraisam L'chukas oilam, or something along those words. At the end, it's a very long laning. The parish part is very long laning. The entire first aliyah, more, two aliyahs. How many?
First
aliyah. It says the end of the parasha, the chayisalachem l'chukas oilam, that this law shall be a chok forever. Forever, and that indicates even if there is no Beis HaMikdash, you have to know about this. And in fact, we know for a fact that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they still purified themselves in the time of the Amoraim. We're dealing over here, how many years after, even 500 years after, they still had in their possession the ash of the last Paradum. I think there were 9 Paradumas that were done in the entire span of history. If I'm not mistaken, there were 9, and the 10th will be when Mashiach comes, and they still had in their possession some of the ash from the previous Paradumas.
When did they have the second Paradum?
I don't know when. It's the Medrash. The Medrash says when they all the parts.
Moshe made the first.
Moshe, the second day of Nisan. Elazar. Moshe made the first. Elazar HaKohen, the first one. The second day of Nisan. The first year, the second year they went out of Mitzrayim, the second day of Nisan, when they put up the Mishkan, the second day of Nisan, they made the first Paraduma. The second one, I don't know, maybe Yoshua. I don't know. It's the Medrash. The Medrash is exclusive when they did it. We have a record when they did all the parts. But even during the time of the Amoraim, just because you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and you don't have an opportunity to offer korbanos, the Torah says l'chukas oilam, there is a mitzvah to be in a state of tahara from tumas meis to do it, and therefore from that we take the remez that a person should always seek tahara b'zman hazeh. We can't actually bring it, we don't have it, but the very least we have an obligation to know about it, and that is why it borders on a mitzvah d'oraisa. Okay, and there's another very fascinating reason. This is really fascinating of why it's d'oraisa. And that we discussed a couple of weeks ago, we know in the Torah there are sheish zichiros in the back of the siddur. Some people say this every single day. What are the sheish zichiros? Shabbos, the Egel, Miriam, Zohar, Har Sinai, and one more, Har Sinai, and what? I said Miriam. You look in the siddur. There are 6 zechiras. So Parsha and Amalek. Amalek, right? Amalek. That was number 6. Amalek. Now Amalek, we know it's a mitzvah deraisa. It's one of the sheishos. These guys, I'm going to smeed them up there. I'm telling you, they're banging away nonstop. Nonstop. What do you mean? What? Oh, right, exactly. So my question, we discussed this question a few weeks ago with Parsha Zohar. We know that the reason why we lay Parsha Zohar is because the Mitzvah Raisa, Al Tishkach, Zohar Al Tishkach.
According to Dr. Ender, he has 10 Zohar.
Okay.
And the Zohar on Amalek is to say, Zohar as
Mitzvah. Mitzvah, Zohar as Mechias Amalek. The Mitzvah.
It's only
that says Mitzvah. Al Tishkach. It says by Amalek a different expression, Zohar Al Tishkach. We lay in the parasha once a year, Parsha Zohar. Now the question all the commentators ask, if we're so makbid to be mekayim the mitzvah once a year deraisa, how come we don't fulfill the other 5 zechiros? So the answer is, well, Shabbos we do. Shabbos, we remember Shabbos every single week. Matan Torah, we remember once a year. Yom Tov of Shavuos. What about so the Egel and Miriam, we don't, because we don't remember bad things. Things that are bad, paranus, there's no Indian to remember. You only have to remember the good things. Okay, what did I leave out?
Yes,
Pesach. Once a year, Yitzias Mitzrayim, remember Pesach. Shavuos. So the only thing that we have to remember is Zohar Al Tishkach is Amalek. Amalek, Al Tishkach. So we don't have to remember. So what are the two that we don't remember? We leave out the Egel and Miriam Lashon Hara. The chait of Tzaras Lashon Hara. Some Mepharshim tell us it's not true. They disagree with that entire Dvar Torah. There's a mitzvah, the Oraisa, to remember the Egel. And when are we mekayim the mitzvah, the Oraisa of the Egel? Parshas Parah. Because Parshas Parah is the kapara. The Parah Aduma is the kapara for the Egel. The mother should come and clean up for the filth of its child. So then you'll ask the question, so what about that's we have 5 of the 6. What about Miriam Lashon Hara? Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a day, the entire day is devoted to remembering the tragedy of Lashon Hara. Tisha B'Av commemorates the Lashon Hara of the Meraglim over Eretz Yisrael. So in truth, we indeed do have a very, very open remembrance of every one of the Sheish Zechiras. Shabbos, every Shabbos. Matan Torah, Shavuos. Zmamolek, Parsha Zohar. Egel, Parah Aduma. Parah Aduma is a mitzvah, the Eraisa of Zohar. Remember that you worship the eagle. And Tisha B'Av, Eicha, Kinnis. There's no greater fulfillment of the chait of being Mitzi Dibar Ra, the tragedy, the churban that it can bring. Okay, so that's why some hold the detail that it is indeed a de Eraisa. Okay.
Why don't you read it in the gift?
Why don't we read the, what, if you forget it?
No, yeah.
Well, I'll get that in one moment. Okay. Well, other Mepharshim tell us that it's not Deraisa. They don't go for this whole idea that it's Deraisa. I told you two possible reasons why it's Deraisa. It is because L'chukas Oilam, it says in the Pasuk, this is a chuk you have to remember forever, and the only way to remember it forever is at least to read about it. Either you fulfill it or you read about it, or because it's because of the Chet Egel. There's a third reason why it might be Deraisa, and this is a Pasuk in Parshas, I think, Mitzora, v'hizhartem espinei Yisrael mitumosam, v'hizhartem b'nei Yisrael. This pasuk is being addressed to the Bezdin. The Bezdin is to warn the Jewish people regarding their tumah, v'lo yitamu es mikdoshayim, and they shall not contaminate their holy places. This pasuk is unique when it comes to tumah. It's addressed to the tzibur, to the Bezdin. It's telling the Bezdin, you Bezdin, you better warn Klal Yisrael that they shall remain in a state of tahira. And even though we don't have the ability in our day and age to do anything about it, to be matar ourselves because we don't have the paradum of water, but the commandment that the Torah gives in Parshas was the Mitzorah, Tazriya Mitzorah, the commandment the Torah gives us remains in effect, the Bezdin. So when you're learning the Parsha Spara, you're really hearing the words of the Bezdin. The Baal Kore is acting as the Shliach of the Bezdin to warn you. You should know there's something called Tumah, and you have to matar yourself and don't contaminate your Neshama. So Sach HaKol, three possible reasons why indeed it may be a mitzvah de Oraisa. There's a shayla in the Gears of Taisus. Taisus, according to one of the manuscripts of Taisus, Taisus says that there's a Taisa somewhere that says that para indeed is a mitzvah de'oiraisa. That's why in some shuls, sometimes the rabbi will say that some hold that it's a mitzvah de'oiraisa, and you should mechav when you lay in the parsha of para aduma, you should mechav and you may be the kind of mitzvahs that say de'oiraisa. However, many say it's not de'oiraisa, it's only the rabbanon. And the to remember the tahara, it's a the rabbanon. They're not going to give a cut in the chatchil unless they have no choice, because some say it's a deraisa, and some say it's a derabana just as a zecher, and some want to say that it's a tefillah. It's a different type of laning. It's a whole, when we're laying para, I think some of the Rishonim say this, is that when you're laying para aduma, what you're really doing is you're being mispalel to Hashem. That Hashem should bring about, should vizorakti aleichem mayim tohurim. That's the Haftarah. The Haftarah is Hashem should pour upon us mayim tohurim. We're reading it as a form of prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you shall already bring the gula.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't lane,
but I did do the maftar. Haftar, you can do avada. But the laning, many shuls will not let the child lane the maftar because the maftar may be a deraisa.
Bergman said, "Having lots of para."
Yeah.
He went to Rabbi Belsky.
Yeah.
He said, "The kid cannot lane
para." Okay, that's lechatchila because some hold that it's deraisa, based upon the three reasons that we have presented. Okay, so let's conclude with a riddle. Riddle is, when is the only time of year when you can possibly take out four Sifrei Torah? Four, we all know you can take out three Sifrei Torah. Well, you take out three Sifrei Torah, Chanukah, Simchas Torah, Parsha Chodesh. This year we take out three, right? We take out three next week. Next week is three Sifrei Torah. But when can you take out four Sifrei Torah? Ask this to your grandchildren. There's only three.
and take out early piyatavu.
What? So when? So what's the answer? I'll keep you in suspense. And I asked this to a Talmud Chacham yesterday, and he agreed that this is possible. I asked his name is Rasher, and he's a very big Talmud Chacham, and he told me it's correct. Is if you forget, not according to all opinions, but if you forget this week you forget to lame Parshas
so
Parah.
So then next week
you have to lame Parshas Parah. That's not halacha, it's machlokes. The big machlokes in the is hashlama. It's not so simple. But let's work with the Rishonim that say that there is tashlumin for Parshas Parah. If you forget to lane Parshas Parah, it's a big machlokes.
When you read it at the end.
Oh, that's another shah, but it's a big machlokes. You should be aware. He has over here in this safe a long, long list. A whole page, a footnote, a whole page over here in the safe called Hakriya B'Torah V'Hilchos Secha, a beautiful safer. The machlokes if you forget this week Chas V'Shalom to lane Parshas Parah, next week is Parsha Chodesh, do you lane Parshas Parah as well? He does not discuss when it's on Rosh Chodesh, but theoretically I was told that next week you take out four Sifrei Torah, the first Parshas Vayikra, the second for Rosh Chodesh Pinchas. Now what about the third? L'chayra the third would be Parah. You do Parah first. When you have to do both, you still follow the order. If you're already going to do, you do Parah first. That's what appears when he says over here. You do Parah first, and the last would be a Chodesh, and each one deserves its own Sefer Torah. Tircha de Tzibur, you're not a Goylov, de Tzibur. So by he bin Soho, alright? Four people line up, and you'd have to divide the Aliyahs in a very unusual way. You have five Aliyahs, and you have to have lane a very long Vayikra, break up only five Aliyahs in the entire Vayikra, and the sixth Aliyah would be Rosh Chodesh, and the seventh Aliyah would be Parah, and Naftir would be HaChodesh. That's the answer to the riddle. A very unique situation.
And then Shabbos HaGadol, and that kind of ritual, find stuff in
okay, that's it.